Those who are done with their salah can come forward. Those are done with the salah can move forward, inshallah. Ta'ala. السلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي قال انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما انفعنا وزد علما يا رب العالمين So we were continuing the tafsir of Surah Al-Furqan. Alhamdulillah, last time we covered the first ayah, which was one of the most remarkable ayats in the entire surah. And the entire ayah revolved around, or the surah revolves around barakah, as we talked about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself in one word. That one word was tabarak. And again, tabarak means or barakah means getting what you want done, no matter what amount of stuff you have. So if you have a lot of things or a little bit, there's barakah because whatever you need accomplished gets accomplished. Tabarak in Arabic means someone who every moment and everything that he wants to be done will be done whenever he decides and how he decides. Every second that he decides something, it will be done the way he wants it to be. And so in Arabic, the only being that can fulfill this word is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we spoke about. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us, he describes to us about how will you know his barakah? How would you know how mubarak he is? So he gave two proofs. We spoke about this last time. The first proof Allah ta'ala says, he revealed the Furqan. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانِ Blessed is the one who revealed the Furqan. The first sign of Allah's blessings is the Quran itself. And through the Quran, you can know what is right and what is wrong. You see the nur in your life, and that is such a blessing to know what is right and what is wrong in life. And the second blessing that Allah gave, or the second sign of his blessing, is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the Quran is such a blessed book because it can tell you what's right and what's wrong, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so blessed because his entire life he was walking blessings. The Prophet was just Mubarak the entire time he was on this earth, right? And we spoke about the word Barakah and Mabruk and everything like that. So I hope you all remember that, inshallah, that we don't say Alf Alf Mabruk anymore, okay? So that was the crux of last time that we spoke, that we talked about the blessing of having warnings, that the fact that you read about Jahannam in the Quran is such a blessing. Because if you were to actually see Jahannam or taste Jahannam, no one ever wants to experience that. No one ever want that. But the fact that Allah tells you prior to going, prior to seeing, is such a blessing from Allah Ta'ala. That you know what is the punishment for doing zina. You know what is the punishment for doing riba. You know what is the punishment for missing salah. All these things are warnings that are blessings in reality. So may Allah grant us an understanding. So then we moved on to the second ayah, which we touched on a little bit last time, which I really want to go into today, inshallah ta'ala. So when we're looking at the surah again, it is a surah that is, again, full of barakah, right? And so the Quran is, we described it by its other name. What is its other name again? Furqan. Furqan. Furqan, it's something which makes clear. So in the surah, what Allah tries to do, what Allah explains to us, is that he explains to us that I want to make clear about what you should worship and what you should not worship. Allah makes clear in the surah what you should worship and what you should not worship. So Allah says, why should you worship me? الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ The one that for him is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. وَلَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا And he doesn't have a child. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ وَشَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ He doesn't have a partner. وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ He created everything. And then he appointed a proper taqdeer. He precisely apportioned everything. These four things are the reason why Allah says you should worship him. Number one, he says, why should you worship me? Number one is because everything that you see around you, everything you see and you cannot see, everything that you can breathe in or not breathe in, everything you look at or you can't look at, everything belongs to Allah. Allah says, this is all mine. The reason why Allah can pull out his barakah from everything is because it all belongs to him. It's all his property. So Allah says, I can do whatever I want with it. Number one, Allah says, it all belongs to him. وَلَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا He has not taken a child. What does that mean? There's nothing divine about anything around us. No one here is special because of the fact that they were born somewhere. I'm not special because I was born in America. No one is someone special because they were born in India. No one's because someone's special because of this. Allah says, everyone is equal before me. When Allah says he does not take a son, what that means is necessarily that everyone is equal to Allah Ta'ala. So that means if everyone's equal, that means everyone can attain a high status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of who you are. Which is exactly why we find that people who practice Islam, they might be practicing Islam at age 4. Some people have practiced Islam at age 40. Some people start learning about Islam at 14. Some people learn Islam at 44.
You'll find that no matter what age you study, as long as you're sincere, Allah will raise you statuses upon statuses. You have to think about one man in this case. Who is this one man? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, in terms of his acceptance of Islam, was what year of Islam? He accepted Islam in the sixth year. By that time, at least there was about 39 or so Muslims that were ahead of him. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu accepted Islam. Uthman radiallahu anhu accepted Islam. Ali radiallahu anhu accepted Islam. There are so many Sahaba who were greater in status in time that accepted Islam before Umar radiallahu anhu. Yet who's buried next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi is someone who spent his youth engaged in business. And so he was someone that was a master of business. He was good at selling silk and different fabrics. And so he had a huge industry in his time. And so at age 23, he passes by one scholar of hadith,
Shu'bah radiallahu anhu rahmatullahi alayhi. And Shu'bah looks at him and he says, "What a learned boy, if only he was engaged in deen." And that was the only words that Abu Hanifa needed to hear, and then he went to go study knowledge. For the next 17 years, he studies. And then subhanAllah becomes Imam Azam, the greatest Imam, rahmatul alayhi. You see that, mashallah, I even have this own example from my own experience. What do we find? That one of our classmates in Alim course, he was someone who graduated with us. Now, he finished his Alim course after age 60. SubhanAllah. Well, the other day we hear news, mashallah, of a man who finished memorizing the Quran at age 74. No matter what you want, mashallah, nothing will keep you back except what you tell yourself. If I tell myself I'm limited, I can't do, then you'll never be able to do. But if you rely on Allah Ta'ala's barakah, that Allah can do with little or a lot, then you'll see how many things you can get done. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no matter where you're from, if you know Arabic or don't know Arabic, you can learn Arabic. You can learn, right? You can learn Arabic even better than other people, mashallah. You can become a scholarly as intelligent as you want. The only one who has to make the choice is you and I. We have to make that choice. وَلَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدَا. Number two. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. Allah says there's no one else here in charge. I'm the only one in charge. If you want, mashallah, your money to work, man, tax return, you're actually paying back the government this time. What a terrible musibat you have. Unbelievable musibat. It says what? It says debit. In the rajun. Oh my God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to my money, my finances, everything? There's only one being in charge in reality. Right? My boss is giving me a hard time, even a difficult time. There's only one boss in reality. Right? Wife is giving you trouble at home. Only one boss in reality. You know, there's only one boss you have to go to. Allah says no one else has control. Why are you spending time with this person, this person, this person? Whereas the entire power source is with me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. Understand what you say? لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. You are negating everybody. No one has any power, no will, no struggle, anyone, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has everything with Him. لَا يَكُنْ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. He created everything. فَقَدَّرْهُ تَقْدِيرًا. Allah uses this four arguments to say that He creates everything. Everything belongs to Him. That He has no son, meaning everyone's equal to Him. Number three is that He has no partner, that He's the only one you have to go to. And the fourth one, which is why we spoke about it last time, that Allah has such precision in His creation. I explained about last time about ice and fire, but how precise these things are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah gives us an example for us that in our lives, every second that you have is a precise blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can take advantage of that blessing if you want, or you can ruin that blessing. Now Allah gives you this and He says, would you want to worship me? Would you want to make your life revolve around me? Would you like to live for me? Would you like to be like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah that gives us a choice. And I want to make that clear to everyone here. Everyone here is an adult, right? Everyone understands we're adult here, right? Everyone here, mashallah, knows. Furqan means what? Furqan, not Furqan by Reagan. Furqan means that we know what is the path going to Jannah. We know what is the path going to Jahannam. We know clearly. You know this better than any other religion in the world. What goes to Jannah, what goes to Jahannam. You have the greatest blessing in the world too. You have the Quran, which is a preserved book from Allah Ta'ala. No other religion has this. And you have your Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You ask them where Musa Alayhi Wasallam is buried, they don't know. You ask them where Isa Alayhi Wasallam is, they don't know. They don't have any connection to the prophets. You know where your Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is buried, for God, for SubhanAllah. You know, Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. You have such a connection to your deen. Now, do you want to follow it or not? That is the big question. That's a conscious decision that everyone has to make here. This is something I had to make figure about, that I know the path to Jannah. I know if I pray Salah and Jama'ah, I'll get to Jannah. I know if I come to the masjid, I'll go to Jannah. I know if I do these things, I'll go to Jannah. But do I want it or not? Or do we come to the, mashallah, the nice tombstone again? What is it? Too perfect for an imperfect world. Some of us have become very comfortable. A comfortable abd is what?
I'm already doing the best I can. There's nothing more I can do. There's nothing more improvement. I've already reached the level, right? And that's a big thing that people say. We're all comfortable, all fine, right? We accomplished. We did it. I did Hajj. I did Zakat. I did Salah. Right? And so a person who wants to deceive themselves will always look at what they did in the past. 15 years ago, I did this. 20 years ago, I did this. 15, what, like this. What does a believer say? That Abd is only Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, who is Abd in the surah? Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, what was his tahajjud? What was his salah? What was his dhikr? What was his ibadah? Aisha radiallahu anha says, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pray such salah. 4 rakats he would pray. She said, فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي أَنْ حُسْنِهِنَّ وَطُولِهِنَّ. Don't ask me how long these salahs were. Don't ask me how beautiful this salah was. It's such an extraordinary prayer. She said, حَتَّى تَتَفَطَّرَ قَدَمَا. Until his feet used to swell. You could see that his feet were cracking from the pain, from the standing, the duration. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, there's no sins on you. Why would you pray such a long prayer? Even us being gunagar, we don't pray that long. Even us being sinful, we don't pray that long. The Prophet says, SubhanAllah. The Prophet says, should I not be a grateful slave to Allah? I'm only doing this because I'm so happy Allah chose me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Abd. What are we? Everyone's below the mark. So a believer does not look at the past. A believer says, Ya Allah, did you accept in the past? And if you did not accept, I have to do for the future. Now, does anyone know Allah accepted them or not? We don't know. So what do we have to do? Every single time you finish salah, you say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. What does that mean? Ya Allah, it could have been better. Ya Allah, the zakat could have been better. The hajj could have been better. Because I'm not abd yet. Until I look like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And really look like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, such an extraordinary sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One time he passed by an area. And he stopped there. And then he got off and he went to a certain area. And then he just came back. And they said, oh, Ibn Umar, what did you do? Ibn Umar, what did you do? He said, you just stopped randomly. He said, I remember when I was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stopped at this one place and he went over here to use the bathroom. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not here anymore, but I remember this. I just wanted to copy the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to say when people watching during Hajj, he's saying, oh, Ibn Umar, why are you walking here? Why are you moving really fast here? Ibn Umar says, if I walk, it's because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked. If I move fast, it's because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved fast. This is why I'm doing these things. This is what it means to be a ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah that critiques us and criticizes everyone. وَاتَّخَذُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ آلِهَا. Besides Allah, they take ilah. What does ilah mean? Since we're finally at the word. Ilah in Arabic is used for something that you dedicate your life to. You do ibadah of. Ilah means something. You say ilah in our kalima. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha means there's no one who we dedicate our lives to. No one who we focus on. No one who life around. La maqsooda, la ma'buda, la mawjooda illallah. That's what it means. You say that there's no one to worship, no one your goal, no one your focus, nothing else that my life revolves around except for Allah Ta'ala. But what do we find? Allah Ta'ala says, besides me, they take aliha. They take other gods besides me. Other things they make the life focus on. So what do you ask this kid? What does the life focus on? One ball, two ball, three ball, one ball in this season, another ball in this season, balls after balls. This entire life is about balls. Subhanallah, you're laughing in your head. I made it as a joke intentionally, okay? Yeah, it is funny. Because why? Because our life revolves around balls, right? Some people's life revolves around these things. What do other people's lives revolve around? Oh my God, look at that family. Look at that family. Let's check the Facebook about that family. Let's check the Instagram about that family, right? We're all so concerned about someone else. Our whole life revolves around such people. Well, you know, it's even worse than a person that you know and your life revolves around them. A person that you don't even know. What are we talking about? Celebrities, you know? Whole life is about Bollywood. Did this shawarma Deepak or whatever, I don't know their names, right? Did she marry this person, right? Or did this person do this? You know, what did Amir Khan do, right? Oh, this boxing match. You know, our lives revolve around these things. How do we know it revolves? And this is the thing I want everyone to take home with you. How do you know your life revolves around something? How do you know it's the focus of your life or not? Is that if in your life, if you could drop it in your day, like if it's okay to be dropped, then you know it wasn't important to you. Well, if salah in our day, for example, we miss salah, then what does that mean? Was it important? It doesn't mean it was important. We talk to the youth. We tell them, look, as soon as you got a job, Hajj definitely became farz on you. I almost mean it as a fact. If they're still living with their parents, guaranteed Hajj has become farz on them. They have nothing keeping them from going. There's most of student loans. Don't talk about student loans, okay? You will have to go. Oh, but then a million excuses come. Apparently, Allah is not the center of the life anymore. Allah that critiques everyone. You think this is the only time about kafir, it's talking about Muslim. Allah is saying, look, you all taking other things besides me. Your whole life revolves around something that has no impact on you. No attack on you. What takhadu min duni alihatin? You think I'm saying this? La yakhluquna shay'a. They did not create anything. Whom yukhlaqun? They are themselves created. Wa la yamlikuna li anfusihim darran wa la naf'a. Allah says they don't have control over themselves. No benefit, no harm. Wa la yamlikuna mawtan wa la hayatan wa la nushura. Allah says they don't control life, death, or even resurrection. Why do you revolve your life around these things? That one day they will leave you. You worship the bank account will leave you. You worship the house will leave you. You focus your life around this, this will leave you. The celebrity you focus on will leave you. Everyone will leave you. Who will never leave you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet he's not our ma'bud. He's not our focus. He's not our goal. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us that Allah ta'ala says that my slave cannot get closer to me than with anything which I had made. The most beloved thing to me is the things I made fard on him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says, as my slave fulfills the fard obligations, he continues to get closer to me through nafl prayers, through nafl things. There's all the sadaqat, all this hasanat. Hatta uhibba, Allah says, until I love him. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُ, if I love him, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ, I become the hearing which he hears. وَبَصَرُ الَّذِي يُبُصِرُ بِهِ, I become the eye which he sees. وَرِجَهُ الَّذِي يَمْشِي بِهِ, وَيَدَهُ الَّذِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا. The Prophet says, I become the hand which he picks up things. I become the foot which he walks. The Prophet says, if he were to make dua to me, I will answer every dua he makes. And if he were to ask me for protection, I'll protect him from everything. This is what Jibreel alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala says, if Allah ta'ala loves a slave, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah ta'ala, if he loves a slave, says, Jibreel, Jibreel, I love this person. He mentions you by name if he loves you. Allah says, I love this person, Jibreel. You love him too. Jibreel alayhi salam, excitement and happiness goes to all the people of the heavens and all the angels and says, Allah ta'ala loves so-and-so, so you love him too. The angels become so happy to go to the dunya and go to the world and say, everyone, Allah loves a slave, you love him too. Who wouldn't want this? But what does a life revolve around? Football, basketball, this ball, that ball. I'm not knocking it. Again, you have a hobby. Everyone has hobbies. Some people work on cars, right? Some people work on computers. It's okay, have a hobby. But my goal is not my hobby. My goal is that how can I become the perfect slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's the goal for all of us. So mashallah, we understood it because of this Mubarak surah. We're only three ayats in Allah Ta'ala says about, okay, and then he focuses on the people who legitimately don't want Allah Ta'ala in their lives at all, the kafir. MashaAllah, you all, Allah Ta'ala accept everyone. Allah put you in the Ummah Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for a reason. Don't take it as something small. Allah put you here for a reason. Allah loves you. May Allah Ta'ala allow us that we do those actions which He loves as well. Now what happens is the disbeliever is someone who does not want to accept the Quran. This Furqan is coming down on him too. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reciting his ayats. Like I'm reading them to you, the Prophet reads them to the kafirin in his time. The Quraysh are listening to these ayats. And Allah just said, they take idols that haven't created anything. They themselves are created. They have no control over harm, no benefit. They don't control life nor death or anything. They worship stones. They worship rocks. They worship trees, whatever it is. One very humorous narration comes, is that when Umar radiallahu anhu was explaining about the time of Jahiliyyah, he said, Ya Rasulullah, there was one man from amongst us that he had an idol made out of dates. And so he was on a travel with this date idol. I guess he was on a date with the idol. And then he was going with this idol and he was traveling with him. And then he got really hungry on the travel. And there was no food, no water. So then he started to take up date after date from the idol. And started to eat it. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, these are such silly things we used to do in Jahiliyyah time. This doesn't make any sense. Why would you spend your time worshipping these things when Allah has all power over everything? Why would you worship these things? So instead of taking that, they say, no, the Furqan is wrong and Muhammad is wrong. We don't like either one of them. We don't like Muhammad, we don't like Furqan. They said, forget about the Quran and that. They said, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا إِفْكَ. They said, the disbeliever said, this is only a lie, complete fabrication. Ifk is used for slander. It's like such a disgusting lie. They said to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is only a lie which he made up. Iftarahu, he made it up. You know what happened? He got this Ahlul Kitab, these Jews and Christians, to help him make this Quran. Oh. Now let me ask you a question. Okay, let's just say, all right, you were a person, this man came, quote unquote, fake prophet. He invites you to his religion. You convert to his religion. And now after converting to his religion, you realize he cannot read or write. Okay, let's just lay it out really, honestly. Use your brain, right? A man who cannot read or write. And then he starts to tell you, can you help me make the message? What would you say about this man instantly? Why would I be there near this person? Why would any Jew or Christian follow the religion of Islam so dedicatedly
if they knew that this man was asking them for help. Then that means he's not a real prophet. And why would a Jew or a Christian help against their own religions which they came from? And which Jew would ever tell the Prophet of anything to help him out? There's such nonsense. And I'm telling you, Makkah is like, you know, subhanAllah, like, you know, like on Facebook, how everyone shares their lives, right? It's very annoying to read, right? What do you find in Makkah? Makkah is so close of a society that literally your house is right next, like, why could they hear what happens inside the Prophet's house? Because they literally had the wall right next to the house, right? The house, the town is very small. It's very small. You know everything that's happening in the town. You know everything that's happening in the town. The big question is, they know who's in the town, who's not in the town. Have they ever seen the Prophet with any Christian or Jew? They've seen the Prophet, he's been in Mecca for 40 something years. He's only left two or three times. How is he coming down with new revelation every single time? Big questions we need to solve. So when they interrogated one of these people, his name was Jabir radiallahu anhu. Jabir radiallahu anhu was a Christian man. They went to him and said, oh Jabir. They start to beat him and lash him and attack him and say that you taught the Prophet some ayat of the Quran. Say that you taught him these stories. Say these things. After being beaten and hurt and abused, he said, oh, Quraysh, I have a message for you. It is not I who teaches Muhammad. It's Muhammad who teaches me. This is the man, subhanAllah. They said such things. فَقَدَ جَاءُوا ظُلْمًا وَزُورًا Allah Ta'ala says. They came with such a horrible, horrible offense. Zulm. Zulm is something you say when someone does an oppression. When a king oppresses his followers, right? Allah Ta'ala says, what you just said about the Quran being a lie, and Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never lied to you in his entire life. What an oppressive wrong thing you said. How dare you say such words? Wazura, such a terrible offense you said in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُونَ هَذَا إِلَّا إِفْكُنْ إِفْتَرَاهُ وَعَنَا عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ فَقَدْ جَاءُوا ظُلْمًا وَزُورًا وَقَالُوا وَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ They said, these are stories of the past. اِكْتَتَبَهَا That he just wrote them down. He just transcribed them. He asked someone to write them down. He can't write himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, hey, can you guys write these ayats for me? That's what they were claiming about him. There's stories of the past. This Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, he told these people to write it down for him. فَهِيَ تُمْلَ عَلَيْهِ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيرًا That it's being written upon him night or day or night. Who are these people that are writing these ayats? Night or day or night. That means what? You can see it all the time. This is happening. They're all in Makkah. Can you see it happening before the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nothing is happening. Nothing is there. None of that is happening. What do you find instead? What do you find instead? And this is just for your iman. May Allah allow us to accept the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a true prophet. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Because if you accepted him as a Nabi, then you see how many miracles Allah will do with your life. Because the same way his life was miraculous, you'll see that your life will become a miracle as well. Because he was a true Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What do you find? The surahs of the Quran, the stories of the Quran have so many stories. Allah described the story of Nuh alayhi wasallam. The Nuh alayhi wasallam story that he gave da'wah to his community is not found in the Bible. The story of Nuh alayhi salam is not found in the Bible. The story of Salih alayhi salam, he's an Arab prophet. Is he found in the Bible? No. The story of Hud alayhi salam, he's an Arab prophet. He's found in the Bible? No. What do you find? That details about Musa alayhi salam's younger life, his childhood, is it found in the Bible? No. What do we find? That the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, detail after detail. What did the Jews do? They told the Quraysh, if you want to know if he's a true prophet or not, ask him about a man, a prophet who cried, who moved from Canaan to Egypt. Don't mention who he was. So what does the Prophet come down with? The entire story of Yusuf. From beginning to end, detail upon detail about this man. To the point when the Prophet reached Medina and he brought Surah Yusuf to them. The bunch of rabbis came to him and said, where did you get this from? Where did you hear this story? So this is the story which Allah revealed upon me. They all accepted Islam. What do you find in the Quran? You find stories about Hud alayhi salam. You find stories of Salih alayhi salam. You find stories of Yusuf alayhi salam, of Musa alayhi salam. The Jews asked the Prophet alayhi salam. They said, tell us about the youth who fled from the community. Then the surah comes out, a surah al-Kahf. Ashab al-Kahf is mentioned there. They asked about a man who made tawaf around the entire world. Dhul-Qarnayn story comes down. Every story they're asking for is coming down. This Nabi Muhammad's story is so accurate. Allahu Akbar. The Allahu Akbar, the details. And it's not just the stories coming down. Allah makes sure to clarify things. For example, in the Bible, you'll find that when the story of the calf happens, you know, the worshipping of the golden calf, then time Musa alayhi salam, Bani Israel worship the calf. Right? In their books, they blame Harun alayhi salam. Could you imagine that? They blame Harun alayhi salam. They say that Harun was the one who told them to make sajda in front of this idol. Waliyadu bil astaghfirullah. What do you find the Quran do? The Quran corrects them. It says, no, that wasn't right. Don't say that. It wasn't Hibul Samiri. That word keeps coming up over and over. Why do you think it's coming? Because Allah says, it's not Harun. Don't ever blame my Harun alayhi salam. What does the Quran do? Sarah alayhi salam. It's so detailed. I tell you, so detailed. I just want to give you a couple of things. We don't have enough time. I'll give you a couple of things. The Prophet alayhi salam, he knows way too much for it to be something that he's copying from someone. He doesn't know any other language. Right? He only knows Arabic, right? He doesn't know Hebrew. Can everyone agree? He doesn't know Hebrew. Doesn't know Greek, right? So what do we find? فبشرناها بإسحاق ومن وراء إسحاق يعقوب. Amazing ayah. فبشرناه بإسحاق. Allah talks about Sarah alayhi salam in the ayah. Allah says we gave her glad tidings of Ishaq. Okay. So first thing Sarah alayhi salam does, she laughs. فضحكت. She laughs. فبشرناها بإسحاق. So we gave her glad tidings of Ishaq. Okay. What do you think Ishaq means in Hebrew? She laughed, so Allah gave her glad tidings with Ishaq. Ishaq in Hebrew means the one who laughs. Okay? You're like, wow, that was a good guess. وَمِن وَرَاءِ إِسْحَاقَ يَعْقُوبُ. And from after Ishaq comes Yaqub. What do you think Yaqub means in Arabic? The one who comes after. وَمِن وَرَاءِ إِسْحَاق comes Yaqub. Allah translated the names in the exact ayah. What do you find for Zakariya alayhi salam? ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَا. Zakariya in Arabic means the one who remembers, Allah remembers him. The one who Allah remembers him. What does the ayah translate to? A mention of the remembrance of your Lord of Zakariya. I'm not even making this up. Yahya alayhi salam. In Aramaic, his name is Yuhana, right? Which means to be compassionate. And Allah describes in Surah Al-Maryam as Ahanana min ladunna. Allah describes the compassion from us. The Prophet would have to know then, he would have to know Aramaic. And you have to know Hebrew to do such things. There's so many other things. And I just want to quote this one Christian to you all. He was a Christian researcher into the Quran. Right? So he said, looking at the first 63 ayahs of Surah Maryam, he says that this man, the person who came with the Quran, the one who invented the Quran, made up the Quran, he says he had to know the Gospel of Luke. He had to know the proto-evangelium of James. He had to know a book which is not there anymore about James. He's aware of what's happening in Jerusalem in the Marian churches. Because those churches are, they talk about Maryam alayhi salam a lot. So he says he has to know about the churches of Mary in Jerusalem. He introduces Zakariya and Yahya alayhi salam, and he makes us lead into Isa alayhi salam. This is the same thing that Christians do in their own. This is how they lead into the story of Isa alayhi salam as well, the miraculous birth and stuff like that. Starts with Zakariya alayhi salam, right? He has an idea of Christian tafsir. The way he explained in Surah Maryam is like the way the Christians explain their tafsir as well. He has remarkable, he has knowledge of Aramaic, right? I just told you the name Yuhanna, right? He also, Jerusalem spoke in Greek. That means in order to translate this, you also have to know Greek, right? He produces hymns like those Christians are there. And he knows enough of Christianity to speak from a common denominator, meaning all the Christians in the world right now, he's speaking in a way that all the Christians can agree on what just happened in the surah. And at the end he says, and he has remarkable talent for bayan. He's a really good bayan. And he says, my conclusion is, this person who came with the Quran could not live in Makkah or Medina. He had to be in Jerusalem. This is how much they will not accept this to be a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The story of Nuh alayhi salam is not found anywhere. The Prophet comes with details about what happens with his son. And Allah says, تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهَا إِلَيْكَ وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ. Allah says, this is what we revealed to you. You weren't there. And Allah says about Musa alayhi salam being spoken to Allah ta'ala on the Mount Tur. Allah says, you weren't there. You weren't there when Maryam alayhi salam was given to Zakariya. You weren't there when Yusuf and his brothers were talking to one another. Allah revealed these things from himself to them. This is why it's a miracle. May Allah grant us understanding. I didn't give him a chance to talk about the other one. May Allah allow us to accept the Quran to be the Quran. May Allah accept that we can practice on this Quran. May Allah allow us to follow the full Quran, follow those things that tell us to be right, and tell us and allow us to avoid those things which are wrong, inshallah. So I want to give a quick reminder, inshallah, about tomorrow's program. Inshallah, we strongly encourage everyone, inshallah, to participate. Alhamdulillah, we're trying to revive our masjid, and this is part of the revival of the masjid. Try to have one of these big programs for Ramadan. That way, inshallah, our himmat, our inspiration comes back to practice deen, inshallah. So we're inviting speakers from outside to come. Mufti Rizwan al-Hassan is coming, Mufti Aswat is coming, mashallah, from Walta Masjid. So, alhamdulillah, they're talking about very engaging topics. Sheikh Google is someone that everyone has to deal with every day. So, mashallah, we're going to talk about how he cannot give fatwa, right? And then we're going to be talking about the story of Lut alayhi salam as well. And mashallah, this is a very important topic in our time because of the issues of LGBT, etc. So kids can actually get a chance to hear about the right story and things like that. And then the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are so important, mashallah. And they are the ones that practice Islam properly. So they'll be spoken about as well, inshallah ta'ala. So we want everyone to participate from Asr tomorrow. Just for tomorrow, just be at 4:30. So that we can allow the speakers enough time to come in. So inshallah, we'll start at 4:30, inshallah. And thereafter, we'll start the program. We'll finish around 8 or so. And so we encourage everyone, inshallah, to participate. And please, inshallah, if you can, it's my request to you all, that if you can pray 2 rakats for the success of this program. You know, may Allah grant khair and afiyah and make it a means for our tawfiq, our understanding, and for our children's understanding, inshallah. It always just takes one good word, and a person's life can change. May Allah make that good word come tomorrow, inshallah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اغفر لنا يا مولانا إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين. الحمد لله. Thank you.